Thank you, Allison. Is this thing on right? This is a strange presentation for ARSBC. It's never been made before. But over the past several years, there have been a number of challenges relative to these protocols, where they come from, and why we're doing them. Forward. The first slides and the first attempted use of this device help you understand that I am technologically incompetent relative to electronic devices. I am known to be able to palpate cows reasonably effectively over the last 50 years. So, why do we need extra synchronization protocols? In the 1950s, All right, how do I go backwards? Get the damn thing back, please. In the 1950s, AI became potentially valuable because of frozen semen. In the 1950s, progesterone was discovered to be able to block the estrous cycle of cows. So today, you have the value of the last 60-some years of research, starting with, which is the pointer?
The top one.
And I haven't drunk this morning. We have the capacity of having frozen semen accepted by the dairy industry because they were in stanchions every day, rejected by the beef industry because it was too much challenge to and hassle to observe cows for estrus. So from the 50s and 60s, we got progesterone, MGA. Several other progestogens didn't materialize because they weren't economically justified. In the 70s and 80s, we got prostaglandins. In the 80s, Ollie Ginther and his crew at Wisconsin, using ultrasound, truly identified follicular waves. At the same time, we had GnRH to treat follicular cysts in dairy cows because GnRH releases LH. And so you see the compendium of change over time from the 1950s until today. My only regret is that Jim Wildbank is not here to see what these folks in the youthful area can do in terms of the same number of cows pregnant to one day of AI as your bull can get in 30 to 40 days, and in many instances, greater than what the bull can get in 21 days. So that leads us to down here to today. We have many protocols. We had many names for the same protocol about 10 years ago. There was a perception of need to standardize nomenclature. The objective of ARSBC is try to minimize the animal handling and the use of pharmaceutical and achieve pregnancy rate in both estrus and non-estrus cattle, and you could see that, and there is a plethora of protocols available. Why do we want to use estrus synchronization? Mike and Dave have already identified it. You can make more money. You can achieve active, effective pregnancy rates. You can minimize hassle. We've got 10 heifers and 8 cow protocols, plus one for Bos indicus. And you've been impressed, I hope, that these are based on biology and the reality of real cows under real conditions. As Mike identified, we've got progestogens, we've got prostaglandins. The point I'd like to make on this slide is that there's no substitute for MGA. There's no substitute for cedar today. There will be in a few years, I'm confident. Lutalice was the pioneer product. Prostamate and Inseq are generics of Lutalice, so they're the same product. Estramate is a pioneer product. It's an analog of Lutalice. And Estraplan is a generic of Estramate. Same product. Gonadotropin, Sistarelin was the pioneer product. Fertigel, Ovisys, and Gonebreed are all gonadorelins. They are the same product. Factrel is a different salt than these, but it is still gonadorelin, still the same biological process. How do we get products on the market? We do that through the Center for Veterinary Center for Veterinary Medicine and the Food and Drug Administration in Washington, D.C. A general program is that we go in with an overview of what we want to try to do. We interact with the agency personnel, we come to an agreement, and we get cracking under the investigational process. A point I'd like to make from this slide is that a drug development plan that goes to NADA approval is in the general category of 6 to 15 years for simple ones, and a cost in the range of around 18 to 30 to 40 million. That's a lot of cash. A generic product is much less costly because you don't have to address this one, this one, this one, I mean this one and this, and you have to address this one and this one. We'll get that in just a minute. Usually it's longer than this number of dollars and years to get something that's more challenging, such as bovine somatotropin, antibiotics, and biopharmaceuticals. In terms of a little bit more detail in the product approval process, the chemistry manufacturing control section assures you that when you use that product really does what it says that it will do on the label relative to potency and shelf life. Target animal safety assures you that there have been sufficient studies completed that it is safe to use in animals, and the data will allow you to understand that if there's a problem from the use of that drug, you'll know roughly what those problems are going to be reflected by in animal behavior or difficulty with an animal. Target animal efficacy, you will be confident that what the label says it will do, because there's substantial evidence based on Center for Veterinary Medicine guidelines that those data are derived from those studies. Public safety is assured in that the studies have been completed under FDA CVM guidelines to document that the withdrawal times are conservative withdrawal times when they're needed, and that when they're followed, there is no human health safety issue, and that an environmental assessment has been completed so that the use of that product under those conditions in whatever livestock edam product you're in is not going to cause harm to the environment. And we also have to do environmental assessment up here for the manufacturing process. Now, for those who write articles that say animal agriculture is horrible and that we cheat and lie and rape and pillage, I can assure you that the feds, you may not like the feds, but the feds are essential to make sure that we comply with the rules and regulations in each of these product areas. And each time a pharmaceutical animal health company has cheated, they've been caught, individuals have gone to federal prison, and all review of all NADAs are ceased, and they clean until they clean up their act. So you may or may not accept what I'm saying. I'm saying that's the real world. So why did we have to have products approved? We have to have a label. And so this is a label of general perspective. A label is built from those five sections that we just discussed. Those five sections are extremely expensive if you believe $8 to $30 million is expensive and 10 to 15 years is a long time. If you accept that, then you would understand that pharmaceutical animal health companies produce labels only if they believe they can receive an acceptable return on investment. You won't stay in business very long if you lose money on every product, so some products are there out of altruistic, but most of them are not. There's lots of concern within the estrosynchronization area relative to why can't we study it in beef cows and have it used in dairy cows. The reason is that we have classes of livestock, and in our country, those classes are dairy cows, dairy heifers, beef cows, and beef heifers. Generally, these three kind of go together. These are sacred. They're producing milk. You're not going to screw around with milk in this country or any country in the world. So we have to do extra studies in these. Sometimes we can cross-foster across those. The product labels for estrosynchronization then also cause a challenge. MGA was started for estrosynchronization. We discovered that it was more effective in feedlot cattle. We made more money with feedlot cattle. FDA was beating the crap out of us relative to human food safety in the Delaney Amendment relative to suspect carcinogens. So we ceased developing MGA for estrosynchronization, made lots of money for lots of years, and then said we made enough money, we ought to get the label approval. We got the label approval for heifers, but not for cows, because the cost of doing cows was so astronomically greater that it could not be justified. Cedar, specifically for estrosynchronization. GnRH, on the other hand, started with lactating dairy cows and cystic ovaries because that's where the market was. GnRH releases LH. It doesn't matter what the name of the cow is, it releases LH. And when it releases LH, it does all the good things that Mike and Dave were talking about. For PGF2-alpha, we specifically developed PGF2-alpha for estrus synchronization. We're very disappointed when 80-hour timed AI gave us 39% pregnancy rate. AI at estrus detection for 5 days gave us 41% pregnancy rate. And AI twice a day, 21 days, gave us 43% pregnancy rate. When we presented those data in the 1970s, the beef industry about ran us out of the room on a tar and rail because we always get 65% of our cows pregnant in 21 days, which is a misnomer. And if you looked at the slide that Mike presented, you saw about 45% to bulls in 21 days under excellent beef management conditions in the great state of Missouri. So product labels. Product labels have to have adequate directions on what that product is to be used for and how it's to be used. You'll notice that then we have the classes, what it does, what the withdrawal times, what are the safety factors, how we use it, doses, routes, and stuff. For the layman, then those directions are all the conditions of use that might be thought of, and all salespersons think of really neat stuff to do. And unless it's approved by FDA in advertising, it's illegal, and you cease doing it. Now, if we then go to the prescription label for the veterinarian, you see everything is the same from here and down to here as for the lay label, with the exception that this is now used only under or by the direction of a veterinarian, licensed veterinarian, and the federal law restricts its use. And so hopefully we're building a program to get to where we want to be in a few minutes. Biological activity relative to label claims. MGA is OTC. Inhibits estrus, stimulates cyclicity, as Mike said. We have a label claim for heifers. We don't for cows because it's too expensive. But published data from the 1970s supports it works in cows, and for many years it was used in cows, and it was on one of our synchronization proposed protocols. Several years ago, a veterinarian in the great state of Nebraska communicated to the Center for Veterinary Medicine that we were doing very bad things by recommending MGA for beef cows because it wasn't on the label. FDA responded with an email and said, we agree with you. This is horrible stuff. Take it off of your protocols for beef cows because it's not labeled. So we did so. We're very good citizens. We comply when we're given directions. Yes. Cedar, same thing as Mike identified. We've got a label, and that label requires a prostaglandin because, as Mike shared, a 7-day cedar is blocking the cows to come into heat that are regressing their ZL. The prostaglandin is regressing the corpus luteum. I don't want to be too product specific here. And then for GnRH, as I shared, releases LH, completes follicular maturation, or original labels for ovarian follicular cysts. Now it's being used for synchronization. And there is one product that does actually have a label for that. Most others don't. Estradiol 17 beta or any other estrogen products, we do not have. Why don't we have estrogens? For the last 10 years at every ARSBC, the articulation of interpersonal communications has risen from kind of gentle to intense, mostly in Texas where it became intense, that we have to have an estradiol 17 beta product. But we don't have one. We had one in Synchromate B. Jim Wiltbank was a key leader of this. It's a progestogen. That's an implant for 9 days associated with an injection of norgestamet and estradiol valerate, an estrogen at the time of implantation. It was a very effective product. Unfortunately, sales ceased in 1990 because of the limited market opportunity and the cost for contract manufacturing. Reinforcing the reality of ROI plays a critical role in decisions of what to do or not. ET personnel have consistently articulated a need. Estradiol is available in Brazil and other countries, and it's available in this country illegally from compounders, but some of you in this room may be using it. I know if you're down in Texas, you have an increased probability, but not Brad Stroud. Challenges to regulatory approval. Why are steroids of concern? In the 1960s, Representative Delaney introduced to the National Legislature of the United States an amendment that no product that was a suspect carcinogen could appear in our food supply. At the time, all steroids were classified as suspect carcinogens. They still are on a worldwide basis relative to regulatory authorities. Estrogen survived about 10 years of National Center of Toxicological Research, thousands and thousands and thousands of laboratory animal studies, and they couldn't show it was a carcinogen. National Institutes of Health identified and classified estradiol 17 beta and its esters as a carcinogen because women have estrogen receptors that are associated with breast cancer. So estrogen now is classified as a carcinogen. The regulatory approval for an estrogen is quite clear. It exists and it can be done. You just need a number of investors to develop the developmental plan and go through the regulatory process. We do not, as ARSB, recommend use of estrogens in protocols. There was an estrogen available called estradiol cyclosenylpropionate or estradiol cypionate or ECP. It was one of the first Upjohn animal health products. It was put on the label with testimonials before CVM came to be. One of my last opportunities when I was consulting with Pharmacia before Pfizer bought them was to recommend to develop a dossier to get it approved. The economics simply weren't there. And when a veterinarian of high stature of the United States, along with a consumer advocate out of New Jersey, telephoned and wrote letters to the president of Pfizer saying that estradiol 17 beta ECP, very dangerous, and it's using in dairy cows, and you're going to harm children, what did the president do? He called Animal Health and said, get that thing off the market today, which they did. Very, very responsive, very responsive. So now, I hope I've built an understanding that we have a process to get labels. We have labels. Now, what do those labels do relative to our products? How am I doing on time? MGA has an approval. Cedar has an approval. Prostaglandins of the luteolase area and estromate all have approvals. No approval for an estrogen at the present time. Sistrelin has ovarian follicular cysts in dairy cows. The other NADA products have the same thing, as does Fertigel. But then we have some combinations. And the combinations become important. Easy Breed plus luteolase, there is an approval for lactating dairy cows. Factrel with luteolase, there's an approval in lactating dairy cows. Fertigel and estromate, there's an approval in lactating dairy cows. Gonabred and estromate, there's an approval in both beef cows and lactating dairy cows. We heard Mike and Dave repetitively and reinforced by Sandy, do not mess with the protocol compliances. If you try to take these times from lactating dairy cows and put them in beef cows, you'll fail. If you use this program and you get the results presented in the Freedom of Information document based on how this became approved, then you'll get about a 22% pregnancy rate. You heard pregnancy rates on the other protocols up in the 50, 60, 70%. One of the difficulties, one of the dilemmas a pharmaceutical house has is getting a label claim that has part to do with the reality of the beef industry. So for this label claim and all of the others, the contrast is estromate by itself, single injection, time AI, with a combination of GnRH and estromate, and then time AI. No progestogens. When you do that, you get a label approval, but sometimes you don't get something that's practically approval, practically applicable. This is an attempt to show you the protocol sheet. I've put on SLC, specified label claim. So for heifers, no problem with single injection, no problem of cedar plus prostaglandin because it's approved, no problem with MGA before the prostaglandin, that's a label claim. If we go to a combination of estrus detection and time AI, now we don't have any approvals. We don't have an approval here because there's no GnRH plus cedar. I guarantee you, I bet you that within a year or two you'll have an approval. MGA back here and this combination, that's an approvable one. This one is approval because you've got cedar back here, PG and GnRH is up there. For the fixed time AI, GnRH and cedar is not approved. GnRH is not approved. Split injection of prostaglandin is not approved. And then when we come over here, we've got approval with cedar or MGA with this combination over here. For the legal individual in the room or the anti-animal agriculture person in the room, I assure that you will say, well, this has never been approved to inject a GnRH at the same time of AI. I would propose that that's simply a matter of interpretation or misinterpretation, and the only way it's going to be resolved is somebody sues somebody else, and a damn judge has to make that decision. If we go to cows, then we run into more problems. We have no problem here, but we have a GnRH with a cedar. We have GnRH with a cedar. We have no problem here because we have the split. Then we have the problems in these areas. The difficulty that I have relative to the dilemma that the veterinarian faces and the producer faces is that we have a biological base of data that says the protocols work. We have NADA and ANADA approvals that said there are no health hazards, no target animal safety hazards relative to the use of GnRH, PGF2-alpha, MGA, other than cows, and cedars. But we have a dilemma of the specificity of selecting a protocol, and you can select a protocol with one injection of prostaglandin, 7 or 8 days of AI. If that meets your business model, super. But if you need fixed time AI to most effectively develop your beef enterprise and maximize profitability, then you have a challenge in terms of how do I select a protocol, stay within what I interpret are the AMDUCA regulations, which does not allow me as a veterinarian to use my judgment in terms of production protocols, I can for therapeutics. I would predict that there has to be 97.5% of the people sitting in this room that are going to be very disappointed that I'm finished, because you're going to say, why don't you tell us what to do? I can't. I'm not a veterinarian. If I tell you to start using these protocols out of label, then I have stepped past my opportunity to speak truth of data and open myself to prosecution by the Federal Food and Drug Administration. So, I'm done.